Today, as we celebrate Palm Sunday, it's one of the great processions of the church. The church offers various processions throughout the year, a Eucharistic procession like on Corpus Christi. But Palm Sunday is the procession of the church throughout the liturgical year. It's the opening of Holy Week, the holiest week of the year, and with the most unique liturgies of the year is this time of Holy Week. And so, we start away out, not from the church, but somewhere else where we have to physically walk and transfer from one place to another, singing the hosannas. Hosanna to the Son of David. You know, it's this moment of exaltation, this moment of triumph of Jesus riding into Jerusalem on the donkey and the people exalting him. About 5 minutes later, we're shouting, "Crucify him." And the people in Jerusalem, from the time Jesus entered Jerusalem to the time he was crucified, is just a few days. How fickle is the human heart? How quickly do each of us, in one breath, say, "Jesus, you're the Lord, and whatever you want, Lord, and I will serve you," and the very next breath is, "But I want to do what I want to do. No, thank you. I don't want that path. I don't want that cross," and deny him in our own actions. And so to have both of those things in the same liturgy within just a few minutes of the whiplash of, "Yay, Jesus," and then crucify, and the church asks us to be participating in those words, because we do. We participate and by our own sins, by our own choice of denying the Lord, we participate in the guilt that is upon all of us. Holy Week is a special time. There are particular graces available. The gates of heaven the gates pull back, and just this flood of grace is offered in a special way during Holy Week. But as we meditate on the Lord's Passion, there's just one thing in particular I want to point out, that this invitation to the apostles. They finish the Last Supper, they go out, and it's Jesus praying in the garden, and he brings along Peter, James, and John a little bit further, and they all fall asleep, and he makes this request to them: "My soul is sorrowful even to death. Remain here and keep watch with me." Just imagine the humanity of Jesus, knowing what is coming, the innocence of Jesus. And when I hear in this pleading, "Please stay with me. Please don't let me be alone." In my mind's eye, I just see like a little kid, 6, 8, 10 years old, a little child afraid of what's coming, on death row, sitting in a prison cell waiting for soldiers to come, and a little kid in that innocence just begging, "Please don't leave me here. Don't let me be here by myself." And what St. John Paul II said is that during his passion and death, from the time of the agony in the garden to the time he breathed his last, in the time of his passion, Jesus, in his divinity, because he's not limited by time, he knew every single moment of every single individual person's pain and suffering and sorrow and heartache. He knew it personally from the inside, not from the outside, like I could describe it to you and you could relate to it because you've had a similar experience and so you can kind of empathize that way. No. He knew it from the inside because he lived it and brought your pain to the cross with him. He knew exactly what it was like the day your parent died. He knew precisely what your heart felt when you were served divorce papers. His soul experienced the same pain, the same cry as when you lost a child, He knew that himself personally, and he nailed that to the cross. And that is why suffering can be redemptive, is because he himself redeemed it. And because of that, it becomes the closest bridge. We can connect with the Lord closer in suffering than we can in joy sometimes. See, we see time like this, like a loaf of bread where there's a slice of bread, and this second is yesterday, and this second is today, and that second is tomorrow. And we see a loaf of bread, and we can kind of see, oh, that one's further away, and this one's closer. But God takes that loaf of bread, and he flips it like this, and he pierces all of them simultaneously. All of time is equidistant to him. Yesterday and tomorrow and today, they're all the same. And so from the cross, he was present to us in 2026. And we, during Holy Week of 2026, we can walk with him in his passion. And so his words to the apostles, "My soul is sorrowful even to death. Remain here and keep watch with me. Please don't leave me. Please don't leave me alone." And so you and I have the opportunity to console his heart now, to offer that point of contact where our greatest pain is. That's the place where we can connect with the Lord. A lot of times that's the most visceral place we can connect with the Lord. And so my invitation or my challenge to you is to not let this Holy Week just skip by. You're busy. I get it. We're all busy. We all have 1,000 things going on. But I just really would invite you and challenge you to take some time this week to enter into that passion. Maybe come to some of the liturgies, these particular liturgies, Holy Saturday, Holy Thursday, Good Friday. But in a particular way, to just be with the Lord in his suffering, in his passion. Be with me. To the extent we are able to enter the passion, to that same extent we're able to receive the joy and the glory of the resurrection.